This is Express FM.
Supported by Portsmouth College. We are passionately pumping.
Jamal Lowe's onside. The flag stayed down. Jamal Lowe, nonchalant, brilliant. Pompey will be promoted at this rate.
Cheltenham Town, that'll stick in my mind forever.
Pure, unadulterated Pompey.
You can't be involved with this football club and not be emotional. The club is special.
Action and reaction.
It's an exciting challenge. I'm proud to be the manager of Portsmouth.
Giving Pompey fans a voice.
The whole stadium erupted singing "Play Up Pompey." It was a surreal moment.
To do it with a club like Portsmouth was just incredible. That was the reason why I joined the club.
This is the Football Hour.
The one team that stands out, that's historic, that's had great success, that has a fan base that is amazingly passionate, is Portsmouth.
389 days after that dramatic semi-final victory over Exeter, Pompey will finally battle out to defend their EFL Trophy title.
Ollie Hawkins is the man with the penalty and the chance to win it. He steps up, back, he'll hit it right-footed, and he'll score! And Portsmouth have won the EFL Trophy!
And manager Kenny Jackett is looking to use Tuesday's league defeat as an example of what his side needs to improve on heading into tomorrow's Wembley final.
Those key moments, you know, did obviously shape the game, and just after the second goal, I did think they had their tails up then and a lot of confidence. And it'll be interesting now whether those guys coming back can make a difference and help us to get back to winning ways.
We'll also be hearing from Marcus Harness tonight. He's been reflecting on his equalising goal in the semi and how much he misses having fans behind the team.
It's always good to score in front of the threatening end. It's been a while since hearing the roar after a goal going in. Definitely missing it, and it'll be missed on Saturday at Wembley.
Salford City are the Blues' next opponents, and Salford supporter Andy Broughton is feeling confident of his team's chances.
I think there's a lot of pressure on the Pompey players at the minute, which will go in our favour. Pompey's got to come out and attack us, because the fans aren't going to put up with it sitting back against a League Two side.
We have an absolute ton to get through this evening, so we're going to waste no more time in getting straight into the thick of it. You're listening to the 2020 EFL Trophy Final Preview on a very special edition of the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
A very good evening and welcome to another instalment of the Football Hour here on Express FM, your home of every Pompey match day, as well as twice weekly passionate Blues debate here on the Football Hour. This season, the show is being driven to you by Stagecoach across the South. Visit stagecoachbus.com for more information on timetables, routes and fares, as well as the latest COVID guidelines too. So, the 2020 EFL Trophy is finally upon us, Pompey fans. We are now at the eve of the Blues returning to their second home, Wembley Stadium. Who deserves to start tomorrow's final against Salford City based upon recent league performances? Would a trophy success this weekend boost morale within the squad? Or do you see this delayed final, now more than ever, as a hindrance to Pompey's main aim of promotion? And what do you think the score will be? How confident are you of the Blues becoming the first team to retain the title in its 37-year history? As ever, it's 81400 if you'd like to send a text into the panel. Be sure to start your messages with the word Express. Otherwise, you can email Pompey at expressfm.com, tweet using at expressfm, or go to facebook.com/PompeyLive. We will be getting to a preview of this weekend's fixture a lot sooner than we normally would this evening, but we do unfortunately still have to touch on the midweek clash with Sunderland. Andy Moon and Guy Whittingham were your commentary team at Fratton Park, where the Blues were hoping to avoid a third straight defeat.
Everything we do is passionately Pompey.
A wonderful goal!
Every second of the action is right here.
Shoots and scores!
90 minutes of passionately Pompey commentary.
He's gone!
This is...
You wouldn't believe it!
Pompey Live.
Sunderland are flying with eyes on the top two, while Pompey are sinking. Realistically, they're now playing for a place in the top six. Towards McGeady, we've not seen him on the ball, but now he has space in from the left. Couple of step overs. McGeady to shoot from distance. What a strike. Great save from McGilvery. Sunderland corner, still 0-0. In it comes. This one towards Jetty, the six-yard box. Free header into the net. And Sunderland have scored. More set-piece woe for Portsmouth. The third corner they've conceded from in just over a game of football. And it was a completely free header. And Portsmouth find themselves behind with 12 minutes on the clock. It's Portsmouth 0, Sunderland 1. Williams, 30 yards out, looking for Marquis in the area. Lovely ball. Marquis has gone to ground. He's claiming for a penalty. Referee saying it was a dive. Oh, Raga's given it away. Chance for Sunderland. Chipped over McGilvery into the back of the net. And Sunderland have been gifted a second. Jordan Jones has scored it. A really cool finish to loft it over Craig McGilvery when the angle was against him. And before the hour mark, it's Portsmouth 0, Sunderland 2. And suddenly, Portsmouth are overmatched and the ball into the near post. Is it going to be forced in the back of the net? How on earth has McGilvery kept that one out? An arm came from somewhere and denied Wyke a second. And the referee decides that enough is enough and the full-time whistle has gone here at Fratton Park. And Portsmouth can have no real complaints. They've been beaten by Sunderland by 2-0.
Every second of the action is right here. This is 93.7 Express FM. Pompey Live.
The highlights there of Pompey's 2-0 loss at home to the Black Cats in midweek, who, as it happens, are also in EFL Trophy action this weekend. They take on Tranmere Rovers just 24 hours after Pompey battle it out with Salford. Joining me tonight to try and get through it all, first and foremost, is Ryan Honey. Ryan, a very good evening to you, my friend, and thanks for calling in.
Evening, Jake. Good to be here again, mate.
So, Ryan, 3 defeats on the spin for Pompey now, 6th in the table, with teams below creeping up on us with games in hand. Do you think maybe Kenny Jackett is starting to feel a little bit under pressure?
I think so. It's definitely starting to wear thin, the patience of the Pompey fans. It's definitely starting to build. As the season reaches the most crucial point. I mean, like you say, 3 losses on the spin is simply not good enough. And, well, 2 wins here and there, well, 1 win here and there against the likes of Oxford and Charlton didn't springboard any sort of form, and that has left us reeling, really, in terms of in form and clinging on to that final playoff place, which could be off our hands come the end of Saturday evening.
And alongside you, Ryan, tonight we have Mr. Adam Hillier. Adam, welcome back to the show, mate. Great to have you with us.
Yeah, evening, Jake. Thank you for having me once again.
So were you shocked to see what happened on Tuesday night, Adam, or are the Blues becoming a little bit too predictable at the moment?
Yeah, I think they're becoming a little bit predictable. I mean, it was a really disappointing result on Tuesday. Lacked inspiration going forward, I felt. You know, 0 shots on target speaks volumes, and Sunderland played us off the park completely. So, I think something needs to be switched up a little bit. We're in a real rut now, and you know, it don't really seem like there's a light at the end of the tunnel at the moment.
And it's bizarre to see, you know, what has changed over the last few months, Ryan. Of course, you look back at December, went on that incredible run of, what was it, 6 or 7 games without conceding a goal. We defeated the likes of Peterborough, Ipswich, drew at home to Fleetwood as well. We beat Hull on their own turf too. Lincoln City as well, beat them away from home not too long, before that period as well. And all of a sudden, we're losing to Hull, we're losing to Ipswich. We've been defeated against Sunderland, and that home record continues to just go completely downhill. 6 wins, 5 draws and 7 defeats at Fratton Park in the league this season. Look, we're relying on our away form, but even so, at the moment, it's just got a little bit stale all over the place, hasn't it?
Well, it has. And when Pompey are out of form, they really are out of form. It doesn't matter, well, especially this season, whether we are home or away, especially recently, our away form has really kept us up there. But now it looks as though our home form this turn of the year is really starting to pull our away form down in terms of performance levels and energy levels and just creativity and all-round performance. And it is a problem because we were formidable last season at home and okay away, and it almost did the job. But this season, so poor at home, and it's starting to really show in our league position.
Yeah. Alan Swift's got in touch on the emails. Good evening, Alan. He says, "Hi, Jake and the guys. Now is the ideal time at Wembley to change our forward options a little. That's what any sensible manager would likely do. Okay, you've guessed it. Play Hawula alongside Marquis in a genuine 4-4-2 from the start. Wide players are not comfortable or effective as the long-term strikers. Byers in central midfield with Jacobs and Williams out wide. Rasmus in for mistake-ridden Raggett. He alone can and did cost us the game. We could and should win, but who knows what Pompey will turn up. Alan in Southsea on the emails there. Another email from Linda Mail says, well, did we get the response after Saturday's game on Tuesday? I would say definitely no. We had four corners and no shots on target, not a promotion-chasing side statistics. Sunderland bossed the match from a start. We did not fight enough. There wasn't anything to frighten them up front. We are weak at the back. We are devoid of any ideas, passion, or are prepared to fight, and teams must be queuing up to play us. I would think Salford are looking forward to playing us and will be looking forward to picking up some silverware. Sadly, with this team, they stand a very good chance. I think if we were to put out our youth team, they would probably play with more passion and fight than this lot. Linda Mail on the emails, and within that email, Adam, she mentions passion, fight, and in all honesty, it's something we haven't seen from this Pompey team recently.
No, we haven't. And I, you know, my personal opinion is I think teams got from recent years where, you know, we're up against it, financial troubles, winless runs, and they've showed more passion. And I don't know if that's because there's a lack of leader. Maybe we don't have the sort of the leadership as we've done, but I wouldn't say it's that. I don't know what seems to be the problem. But yeah, it is a real concern. You watch it on Tuesday night and there's no one out there that seems to be wanting to put a, you know, a big challenge in or go up for a header that, you know, you might come down with a knock on. And I think that's one of the things that is sort of making us be pushed over in these games, and lack of adventure and wanting to take risks. We seem a bit safe when, and I think that's something that has to change in order for the team to improve.
Yeah. Paul O'Neill on Facebook's got in touch. He says, we need to gain some confidence from somewhere. I hope I'm wrong, but I can see this season fizzling out while Jacket is still at the helm, says Paul O'Neill there on Facebook. If you'd like to get in touch with the show tonight, you can. All the usual ways. It's 81400 on the text. Start your messages with the word Express. You can email Pompey at expressfm.com, tweet at expressfm, or go to facebook.com/Pompey Live. OK, then, so we heard from the two lads joining me over the phone this evening, but what was the gaffer's take on his side's performance in midweek? Kenny Jackett spoke to Andy Moon shortly after the full-time whistle.
Kenny, another disappointing evening. What's your verdict on that match?
Yeah, the key moments we didn't get right. We're just losing out in both boxes at the moment. The first goal, blocked by O'Neill, and then a header from Wyke, of which he's very good. And in that period of the first 45 minutes there, where we got a lot of very good deliveries into the box, particularly from Daniels, Bolton, Williams down that side, you know, we didn't make those moments count for ourselves. And at present, you know, we are losing out in both boxes in terms of strikes. And as I said, key moments, you know, the second one where we had transferred the ball, you know, around the back very well and got the ball out to the opposite fullback and then got some good deliveries into the box from that. You know, we've obviously got caught on the ball.
Did you feel your side was second best tonight?
Those key moments, you know, did obviously shape the game, and probably just after maybe the second goal, I did think they had their tails up then and a lot of confidence. But and the substitutions with Michael Jacobs, it's good to see him coming back, and it'll be interesting now whether they can, you know, those guys coming back can make a difference and help us to get back to winning ways.
I think it was no shots on target. How concerning is that as a stat?
Yeah, it is. And you know, for them, they won the key battles, really, and those duels that make a difference. You know, there's a lot of balls into the box. And for us, 50-50 situations that we have to turn to our advantage if we can, and we didn't tonight.
What's the situation with Andy Cannon?
Yeah, Andy just felt his hamstring. I don't know how bad it is. We took him off straight away, obviously, and it's been flat out, Andy, and hopefully he recovers well.
George Barr's not in the squad. Was that just selection tonight?
Yeah, it was. And just, you know, wanted to try to make sure that you know, we had enough cover in terms of other areas.
I imagine anyone, he's frustrated about being left out.
Oh, yeah, definitely. Anybody is. And even, you know, if you're not playing, you always want to be playing. And that is the case. But, it, you know, if Andy is out now, then, you know, there's opportunities always around the corner for players. You just have to be ready to take it.
More generally, how does a team go from 7 games, 6 wins without conceding to 7 games, just 4 points picked up? How and why does that happen?
It's very frustrating. And, I mean, there was a lot about our process tonight that was pretty good. But similarly, you know, we couldn't find it either end. We couldn't find it in both boxes. In between the boxes, we moved the ball well at times, picked up second balls, competed well and closed down. But similarly at either end, you know, the key moments, I wouldn't say they had a lot of key moments in our box necessarily, but they got the ones that matter. And the two are ultimately the two goals. You know, for us anyway, up and around that box, when we, you know, we work a process up there, there. And we did tonight anyway, pretty well. But similarly then, you know, the moments weren't there, the 50-50 duels, making something happen, going past people, getting on the end of some good crosses in the first half to either nod the ball down to your mate or maybe make something happen.
Finally, how do you arrest the momentum slide and turn this around from here?
Yeah, we have to just, you know, keep going. I do think we've got, looking at even out, you know, our finishing 11 when you've got sort of Marcus coming on and, you know, Ryan Williams had a good game, I thought, tonight, mainly down the right-hand side and showed some energy. And obviously, Michael Jacobs coming back from injury, you know, Bolton giving us a natural fallback. So, you know, there's a good group there. But for us anyway, we have to get those key moments right. We have to get both boxes right. And that's where we have been. You know, three goals from set pieces on Saturday, a key one tonight from somebody who we do know is a threat. But, you know, we've got enough experience to handle that and have been good in the past at being able to do that. We're not necessarily getting that right at the moment. And then at times you can see it eating into our confidence.
The thoughts of an understandably disheartened Kenny Jackett speaking after Tuesday's 2-0 defeat at home to Sunderland. And looking at the stats from the game, Ryan, zero shots on target from Pompey. And, you know, we've mentioned the defensive woes of Pompey of late, but going forward as well, no shots on target. That's not something you expect when you've got players such as Ellis Harris and John Marquis, you know, Ronan Curtis in the team.
No, it's not. And it's unforgivable, really. I mean, if we're to be classed as a promotion contender, our performances in general need to be better, and especially at home, they need to be better. No shots on target is not a good place to start. And unfortunately for us, all our players have gone out of form at the same time. The likes of Harness, Curtis, Marquis, and that's left us with a problem because no one's stepping up. And therefore, we're not scoring the goals we need to win games.
Yeah. Three goals from set pieces in the last two matches as well, Adam. You know, how are we struggling to do the basics in a football match? You know, you look back on Tuesday night, Charlie Wyke, the league's second top goal scorer with 20 goals. He's now joint top with 21. And he opened the scoring on Tuesday night with a very simple header from, what, 6 yards out? Because no one picked him up from a corner. It's basic stuff, and we're not doing those correctly. How can we expect to go for automatic promotion?
Yeah, and it's really, really concerning that that sort of goal can be conceded. I think I mentioned this earlier about the lack of leaders, and I think it might stem back down to the defence, to be honest. There needs to be a bit more communication now. I think the defence has been chopped and changed a lot this season. And it seems to be that Jackett isn't quite sure what the best combination at the back. I know we've had injuries in different parts as well. But really, you know, to concede the sort of goal and allow for the sort of space that White had on Tuesday, you know, it's not good enough, really. And on this level, especially as we're fighting for promotion.
Yeah. And yeah, looking at the form over the last 12 matches, Ryan, 7 defeats in that time, in that period, only 3 victories as well. It's worrying because, really, that's relegation form.
No, it is. I mean, like we were saying not so long ago, you know, we were top at Christmas for the second season on the trot, and yet here we are looking over our shoulders as the likes of Ipswich, Oxford and Charlton breathing down our necks, looking for that final playoff place. I mean, nobody would have thought we'd be in this position at Christmas time. But here we are, and it's something we've got to deal with. We need to find that form, because if not, we will be slipping outside that top six.
OK, after the break, we'll be turning our attention to the EFL Trophy final. Pompey take on Salford City at Wembley tomorrow afternoon to contest for the 2020 title. And Blues forward John Marquis has been looking back on that magical night at Fratton Park, where he scored a dramatic late goal to fire Pompey through.
It must have been a great game for the neutral to watch, because I suppose everyone would have been switching off after about 60, 70 minutes. And then them scoring just kick-fired the game, really. And the game was just so open, I just said to Marcus, I feel like there's going to be another chance. So if it falls to us, just be ready. Just keep going forward, and I think there's going to be another chance. And it fell to me and ended up being the winner. And we would have been disappointed if we went out at that stage.
Keep getting those text, tweets and emails into us Pompey fans all the usual ways. It's at ExpressFM if you're on Twitter. Text your name and message, starting with the word Express, to 81400. Tweet using at ExpressFM or find us on Facebook, facebook.com/PompeyLive. Tonight we're after your EFL Trophy final score predictions, as well as your thoughts on whether or not a win tomorrow could help boost morale in the camp ahead of what is set to be an intense end to the league campaign. So don't go anywhere and join the three of us again in just a few moments' time, right here on 93.7 Express FM. You're listening to the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the second part of tonight's Football Hour, which is being driven to you this season by Stagecoach across the South. Download the app now from either the Apple app or Google Play Store to buy a ticket for your next journey, all without having to make contact payment when boarding. And please remember that if you must travel via public transport, please only do so for essential reasons and wear a face covering throughout your entire journey. Pompey are returning to EFL Trophy action this weekend. Despite being knocked out of this season's competition back in January, they do, of course, still have that 2020 final against Salford City to complete. And here now to take a closer look at the challenge that lies ahead is Connor Mosley.
Over 1 year on since that dramatic 3-2 victory over Exeter City at the semi-final stage, the Blues finally get to play back at Wembley to defend their EFL Trophy crown. Awaiting Kenny Jackett's side at the National Stadium is League Two outfit Salford City.
Pompey Live, this week's opposition.
Last season's final was postponed as a result of the growing fears surrounding COVID-19, with all parties involved eager to push it back as far as possible in the hope of welcoming fans back in for the occasion. Unfortunately, it's not been possible, and last term's title needs to be decided before this season's final is played, so the game is to be played behind closed doors. Whoever wins this final will only hold the trophy for 24 hours, with the 2021 edition taking place between Sunderland and Tranmere Rovers the following day. So let's take a closer look at Salford City, aka the Ammies.
Manager.
40-year-old Richie Wellens is the current manager of Salford. The former Blackpool, Leicester City and Doncaster Rovers midfielder, who came through the youth ranks of Manchester United during the late 90s, took over from Graham Alexander in November, who's relieved of his duties despite the side sitting fifth in the league and having gone their opening five matches unbeaten. Alexander had led the club to this final but will not be rewarded with seeing over operations at Wembley. Since Wellens took over, the Ammies have won 11 out of 27 competitive fixtures.
One to watch.
Keep an eye out for 25-year-old striker Ashley Hunter, who wears the number 10 shirt for Salford. The Derby-born forward has netted 6 league goals and 1 EFL Trophy goal since signing on a permanent deal from Fleetwood for an undisclosed fee in July. Hunter had spent the tail end of last season on loan at the club, scoring 5 goals in 11 games.
Top scorer.
Currently, there are 5 players tied on 3 goals and leading the top scorer charts for this EFL Trophy campaign. One of those is Pompey's John Marquis, and the other being Luke Armstrong, who represented Salford last season but now plays for Hartlepool United. Instead, let's take a look at the current highest scoring league player this season, someone who's likely to feature against the Blues at Wembley. That honour goes to veteran striker Ian Henderson, who's got 11 league strikes to his name so far this season. The 36-year-old made the move to the Peninsula Stadium in the summer, having previously played for Rochdale since 2013, making over 300 appearances and scoring many, many goals for the Dale.
Current form.
Like Pompey, Salford have struggled to pick up form of late, winning just one of their last 6 league matches. In that same time frame, the Ammies have drawn 3 and lost the other 2 fixtures, a string of results which has pushed the side down to 9th in League 2. Their most recent outing resulted in a 1-0 defeat away to Crawley Town. Salford conceded just 1 goal throughout their entire run to this final, finishing top of their group with 2 wins to 0, and the third game not played due to their opponents Bury being expelled from the competition. Through the knockout stages, Salford saw off the likes of the Wolves under-21s, Port Vale, Accrington Stanley and Newport County, conceding only against Accrington in the quarter-finals. Can the Blues become the first team to retain the title, or will their League Two opponents secure their first piece of silverware as a Football League club? All of the unmissable action on Pompey Live.
A more in-depth look at Salford City there then with our very own Connor Mosley, who is back later this evening alongside Ian James for a special edition Express Floor Fillers between 7 and 11, playing the biggest tunes to get you hyped up and ready for the weekend. You definitely won't want to miss that one. Okay, bringing back Ryan Honey and Adam Hillier into the conversation then, and looking at tomorrow's game, the EFL Trophy final. First of all, Ryan, 389 days after that semi-final of Exeter City, we have finally reached the final. And Unfortunately, it will be played behind closed doors. There will be no fans present at the game. I believe all parties, be it EFL, Salford, Pompey, try to wait as long as possible to try and get fans, you know, ready for the game. But unfortunately, it's not going to happen. But we're going to get the match over and done with. And it feels great, to be honest, to say that, to finally be getting this game on.
No, it does. I mean, like you say, well over a year. And it was a long time coming. Unfortunately, like you say, no fans there. And this is what this trophy is pretty much all about, having the fans there. And especially for clubs like Salford, well, and us at this moment in time, it'd do the world a good for our coffers. But not to be. The boys will have to go out and put on a good performance to try and beat a pretty solid League Two side.
Yeah. And you know, Adam, you can't brush aside Salford City without taking a look at, you know, the club and how they, you know, came about. Of course, they've been around for a very long time, but in recent history, they've come under new ownership, a class of 92, of course, Manchester United legends, taken over control of the club. They've taken them from, you know, the depths of the non-league system right up into League Two. Now, they're at their first professional, you know, cup final as a professional club. It's been some rise, you know, whether you're a fan of the club, whether you've got some kind of dislikening towards the club, because I know they are quite a Marmite team, Salford City. Nonetheless, it has been quite a meteoric rise, and you couldn't say that 10 years ago you'd sit here thinking that Salford City would be in the Football League.
No, you wouldn't have done. And like you say, they're a club that divides and splits opinion quite a lot when spoken about. I think it's better worth in mind whether you like the club or you don't. What they've done is remarkable. To come up the divisions like they've done at such a rate and pace as they've done is a spectacular thing to have done, and fair play to them to have done it. And you know, it's a shame for them, especially this weekend, that they won't have their fans there to enjoy the day out, maybe as a bit of a crowning moment or a key milestone in the club's history. But they'll be up for it, you know, regardless, and they know, the players will know what a big day it is for the football club.
Yeah, and taking a look at their run to the final then, Ryan, we heard from Conor Moseley a few moments ago, he spoke about their run to the final. I wouldn't say it was an easy run, you know, Accrington Stanley in the quarterfinals, but look, they saw off the likes of Wolves under-21s, Port Vale, Accrington, of course, and Newport in the semis. Their group stage consisted of only two games because of, you know, Bury being expelled. That seems like an age ago now that saga happened, but, you know, they've had a run to the final through which they've only conceded one goal, and that was against Accrington, you know, League One opponents. So defensively in this competition, they're solid. And you'd kind of look at that run and look at the record in the EFL Trophy from last season and think maybe they're up for winning a bit of silverware. But we heard this week, previewing the game, manager Richie Wellens, he's actually come out and said that this is going to be a bit of a distraction for his side. They're ninth in League Two now. They've fallen down the table a little bit. They're challenging for promotion, so this could actually get in the way of them.
Potentially, but they're in the final because they deserve to be there. And what a run that they have had to go on to reach the final. I mean, conceding one goal in that many games, it is quite remarkable, really. To see off the likes of Newport, Accrington, I mean, they're having pretty good seasons. But to see it as a distraction, I think, I think it's difficult because it could either hinder them like it is doing now, potentially. Obviously, they're looking forward to something. They're out of form, one win in six. But then again, if they are to go on and beat us, it could spring them and they could go on a nice little winning run that would see them enter the playoff picture again.
Yeah, Graham Wilkins on the email says, "Hi Jake, hi all. Firstly, tomorrow would be great to get at least one shot on target after Tuesday's dismal display. Going for a 3-1 win and hoping that the Blues redeem themselves after the last few games. It's funny though that most of Salford's players weren't even playing for them when they got to last year's final, if I remember correctly. On to tomorrow, I bet Kenny will stick to his guns and without Cannon playing, will stick to the same side that started on Tuesday with Hawula warming the bench for 90-odd minutes. I hope I'm wrong, and he scores the winner, says Graham Wilkins on the emails there. And one more here from Steve Burgard on Facebook, who says, if you can't get motivated for a game at Wembley, then surely you'll never be motivated for a game anywhere. There is enough talent in the Pompey squad to beat a very impressive team from a lower division. Over to you, lads. Play at Pompey. Come on, you Blues. Steve Burgard on Facebook there. And there's plenty of time still to get in touch tonight, Blues fans. Text your name and message, starting with the word Express, of course, to 81400. Tweet in at ExpressFM. You can email us, pompey@expressfm.com, or head over to facebook.com/PompeyLive. But before we get to any more of those, we're going to take a listen to a joint interview with Marcus Harness and John Marquis, who both sat down to speak to Ollie Marsh earlier this week to preview tomorrow's trophy final.
Well, lads, thanks for sitting down and talking to us ahead of the Papa John's trophy final. John, for you, it must seem like a long time ago when you nodded in that winner against Exeter.
Yeah, as you say, it feels like it's been a long time. We've had a lot of football in between there, and we're just happy we got the opportunity to play the final that we worked so hard to get into last season.
Yeah, and Marcus, you were the one who kick-started that fight back against Exeter. What are your memories of that night at Fratton Park?
Yeah, it feels like a long time ago, but it's a good memory, and it was a hard-fought game that we're happy that we finally get to play. So looking forward to getting a chance to hopefully play at Wembley and get another win for the club in this competition.
Yeah, it was a real roller coaster to watch from the stands, especially when you got that equaliser. What did it feel like to be out there on the pitch, especially when, you know, you had to come back from a goal down not once but twice?
Yeah, it was. My goal was to equalise, so it was an unbelievable feeling. But then obviously we conceded straight after, so it was definitely an up and down roller coaster of emotions. But yeah, it was just a great memory and great performance.
Yeah, and John, even when Cameron McGeehan equalised, I suppose in your head you're still sort of gearing up for penalties up until you nodded in the winner.
Yeah, funny enough, in the game I actually said to Marcus that I think we're going to get another chance and just keep believing. It must have been a great game for the neutral to watch, because I suppose everyone would have been switching off after about 60, 70 minutes. It was pretty uneventful, two teams just at loggerheads, no one really giving each other an inch, and then them scoring just kick-fired the game really, and Marcus obviously got us back into it. We then concede, I think it was maybe 90th minute or 88th minute, something like that. You know, it seems like we're maybe not going to get the opportunity. We then get one, and the game was just so open. I just said to Marcus, I said, I feel like there's going to be another chance. So if it falls to us, just be ready. Just keep going forward, and I think there's going to be another chance. And it fell to me and ended up being the winner. And, you know, for a competition, we have taken it seriously in the last few years, as you can tell. And it was a competition we wanted to win. We would have been disappointed if we went out at that stage. So to obviously score late on and not take it to penalties, you know, took a little bit of the pressure off that. And now we're finally going to get the opportunity to play the competition and hopefully win the trophy and be the first team to regain it.
Yeah, and in terms of taking it seriously, it was certainly serious celebrations at the end of that game as well. Did you enjoy it as much as the fans clearly did?
Yeah, obviously as players, you want to get the opportunity to play at Wembley. You want the opportunity to play in cup finals and stuff like that. So the manager picks his team as he sees fit. And throughout the competition, we did play a pretty strong team. We obviously had a good squad of what I'd say senior players. So it wasn't like probably some clubs that rest their whole starting 11 and it's filled up with a few kids. It's, you know, we had a good strong team throughout and players with a lot of league experience. So we wanted to get to the final if we could, and we have. It's just unfortunate when, you know, there would have been 50, 60,000 Portsmouth fans there. I think they were definitely on track to selling them amount of tickets, and unfortunately they won't be there to experience it like they did the year before. But as long as we can bring the trophy home, I'm sure everyone will be supporting from back home watching us.
For you, Marcus, you've actually scored quite a few goals in front of the Fratton end, but that one, that must have been the loudest roar that you've heard, and the celebrations at the end, you know, again, you must have enjoyed them just as much as the supporters.
Yeah, it was massive. It's always good to score in front of the Fratton end. It's been a while since hearing the roar after a goal going in, so I'm definitely missing it, and it'll be missed on Saturday at Wembley.
For yourself, in terms of previous Wembley experiences, I think you've been there before, but will this be your first proper involvement in it?
Yeah, I did go one time with Burton in the League 2 playoff final, but I was just outside the squad, and then they ended up losing that day, so it wasn't an amazing memory that you'd hope for going to Wembley, but hopefully this time it can be a better one.
And for you, John, I think it's a similar thing with yourself at Millwall.
Yeah, so one of them, I was just sort of 17 and played a few games. You know, wasn't in the squad as Marcus was when we got to the playoff final and won. And then FA Cup semi-final against Wigan, again at Millwall. I played in a lot of the earlier rounds, scored some vital goals and unfortunately didn't make the bench again that day. So it'd be the first opportunity for me to be in the match day squad at Wembley. And I think, as Marcus would probably agree, as a kid, you know, if you get the opportunity to play at Wembley, it's a big moment in your career, and I want to make sure that it's one that I can remember for good reasons, hopefully winning, hopefully scoring, and it'll be a memory that lives on forever if we can achieve that.
And that interview with Marcus Harness and John Marquis does have a second part to it. We haven't quite got the time to play it all tonight, but we will have the full conversation tomorrow on an extended build-up show. Join myself, Liam Howells and Ryan Stillwell live from Wembley from the earlier time of 1:30. Well, we've spoken of Pompey's defensive woes of late, Ryan, but going forward, the Blues have arguably been equally as poor. What do Pompey need to do to get the forwards firing again?
Well, that's the question.
If only we knew.
I don't think Jackett knows. I mean, he came out the other day and said he doesn't know his best team. And I mean, after 4 years in charge, that's not what you want to hear as a fan. Obviously, you've got the likes of Jacobs returning. I mean, unfortunately for us, our top players, Curtis, Marquis, Harness, they've all dropped out of form at the same time. And when players like that do that, you start to fire blanks. And unfortunately, for us, it's come at a crucial part of the season. And other players aren't stepping up. Yeah. I mean, that's what you want, other players to step up. And unfortunately, that hasn't happened.
And a big blow for Pompey tomorrow. It's been confirmed this week, Adam, that Andy Cannon is set to miss out on the trip to Wembley. He picked up an injury on Tuesday night. It's been confirmed, but he's having a scan on a suspected hamstring problem. A big blow for Pompey. And, you know, from a personal point of view as well, really deserved a chance to you know, represent the Blues at Wembley. In my opinion, he's been one of the standout performers of the season.
Yeah, I think I'd agree, actually. It's a real shame for him. There's only so much one player can do for a team, and he needs the support around him to be able to make something work. But I guess it'll be a case of next man up. Whoever comes into the lineup could see it as an opportunity to maybe make a name for themselves, especially on a bigger stage or at Wembley. And I think one of the comments that we received from the listeners, I think, summed it up, but playing at Wembley, if that's not a good enough incentive tomorrow to put on a performance, then I don't know what is, and I totally agree on that. So I think that's what the players need to be looking at.
Yeah. There's still just around 20 minutes to get in touch with the show tonight, Pompey fans. Plenty of time to get your messages into the panel. All the usual ways to get in touch, if you don't know by now, can be found on our website, expressfm.com. After the break, we'll be continuing to look ahead to tomorrow's EFL Trophy final, and we'll also hear the thoughts of Salford supporter Andy Broughton, who is looking forward to an exciting future under the ownership of a class of 92.
Budgets, money-wise, they can go to the top. There's no reason why. But I think as a club, fans and whatnot, I reckon Championship would be our ceiling, and that'd be a push. You know what, being a Premier League with like 3,000 fans here, so it just won't work. But I think Championship would be our pinnacle, so to speak.
Andy Broughton will be on the show after the break. Join myself, Ryan, Adam and Andy in just a few moments' time for the conclusion of this EFL Trophy final preview right here on Express FM. You're listening to the Friday Football Hour.
This is the Football Hour, 93.7 Express FM.
Welcome back to the third and final part of this Friday Football Hour, brought to you this season by Stagecoach Across the South. At this stage, we're now asking for your score predictions ahead of Pompey's EFL Trophy final with Salford City this weekend. 81400 is the number to text. Start your messages with the word Express. Alternatively, you can email pompey@expressfm.com, tweet in to @expressfm, or go to facebook.com/PompeyLive. Earlier today, I spoke to Salford City fan Andy Broughton, first asking how long he's been supporting the club and what his favourite memory has been during that time.
2011, I first started going. Favourite memory was beating Colwyn Bay in the last minute after getting dogs abuse from their fans, and there was only three or four of us there. But Danny Webber, last minute winner, boss, class.
Prior to the big takeover, did you ever believe you'd be playing in the Football League one day?
No chance. No, nowhere near. your biggest thing to look forward to is probably trying to get into the first round of the FA Cup. That would have been the pinnacle, so to speak. But obviously, that all changed.
How far can you see Salford going under the class of 92? What's the target?
I mean, if you go on budgets, monies-wise, they can go to the top. There's no reason why. But I think as a club, fans and whatnot, I reckon Championship would be our ceiling. And that'd be a push. You know what, being a Premier League with like 3,000 fans here. So it just won't work. But I think Championship would be our pinnacle, so to speak.
What would it mean to you, even under the current circumstances where fans, unfortunately, are not allowed to attend the final, what would it mean to you to win the EFL trophy?
It's another box tick, isn't it? And it's keeps our 100% record at Wembley going. So it's it's good for the record books. It'll get a stats going, 100% record at Wembley.
Who would be a player that Pompey need to keep tabs on this weekend? Perhaps someone who goes unnoticed or, you know, we might not have picked up during our research. Someone who kind of goes under the radar a little bit.
The Santi, the forward player, he's superb, powerful, loves running with the ball. Really good player. I mean, it's a shame Robbie Gotts can't play. But Robbie Gotts is some player, him. We've got him on loan from Leeds at the minute, but he's already played for Lincoln, I think, in the Cup, so he can't play. But Santi for me. Hunter as well. But you might have played against Hunter, possibly, already for Fleetwood. So you might know about him. But Asante, definitely.
And finally, what do you think the score is going to be?
Well, I think all the pressure's on Pompey. 100% all the pressure's on Pompey. Because the fans, you know, all the message boards. I mean, obviously, their head's falling off because of the recent results. Ours are much better, to be fair. But yeah, but I'm putting on us at 2-1. Purely because of the pressure factor. I think there's a lot of pressure on the Pompey players at the minute, which will go in our favour. Pompey's got to come out and attack us. The fans aren't going to put up with sitting back against a League Two side, regardless of who it is and who you're going against. So that'll do us our forward line a world of good. And I like our keeper, he's super. So he'll make sure you're not scoring. But anyway, that's the plan in my head.
Salford City fan Andy Broughton there. I spoke to him earlier this morning. He's been speaking about his team's chances, who to look out for, and his favourite memory of supporting the club. OK, looking back to tomorrow's game then, lads. Ryan Honey, going to start off with you. We spoke briefly before the previous break about Salford City and their history, their route to the final, players to look out for, and they're actually missing quite a few key names due to injury, suspension and ineligibility due to some players already playing in the EFL Trophy this season for another club, meaning they aren't able to play tomorrow. It's all very confusing because of how, you know, they've overlapped campaigns, but nonetheless they are missing these five players: Robbie Gotts, Paul Coutts, George Boyd, Deshaun Bernard and Tom James. Now, there are quite a few interesting names within that list, Ryan.
No, there are. George Boyd, Paul Coutts. I mean, those are a good Football League names that they've got their hands on. And, well, I mean, it's good for us. We're going to have to take advantage of that. But they'll still have their danger men. They'll still have their threat. And obviously, we're not going into it in too much form. Well, not no form whatsoever, really. So that might play into their hands a little bit. But no, we're going to have to be on our game. Then they're not going to be any pushover.
No. And looking to tomorrow's final then, Adam, we've spoken about how Salford manager Richie Whelan sees it as a little bit of a hindrance for his side as they, you know, gun to try and achieve promotion to League One. But in Pompey's case, Kenny Jackett has come out and said that it's not a hindrance, and he's expecting to field quite a strong team tomorrow afternoon. He's got his entire squad, apart from Andy Cadden, at his disposal. Now, do you see that as a strange decision to maybe, you know, try and field as strong a team as he can? Or would you like to see a couple of players rested? Because we've got a massive game on Tuesday night away to Peterborough.
Yeah, no, I have heard Jackett say that. And I think from my personal point of view, I would like to see a little bit more of a mix-mash team this weekend. Perhaps rest some of the key players for the game, like, say, against Peterborough this week. Yeah, there's a few players that started in this competition. Manoga, Harula, who I think maybe deserve an opportunity this weekend. And that would be nice to see, considering they played such a big part in it. Let this season, and then they also players from last season as well. So yeah, maybe a mix up, but yeah, I think I can understand why he's looking to do it and keep trying to keep some sort of consistency, whatever that is, within the squad.
Luke Ellis on Twitter says, gutted fans aren't going. It is, however, still Pompey in a cup final at Wembley. Regardless of the scenario, it doesn't happen that often. And for that reason, I really hope we win. Play up Pompey, says Luke Ellis on Twitter there. And I've seen quite a few shouts throughout the week, Ryan, of you know, supporters saying, you know, they're not bothered if we don't win tomorrow. And so I'm actually hoping that we don't win tomorrow, you know, when you kind of look it down to got a fan's opinion towards the manager and how that might play out if we don't pick up a win. From what side of the fence do you sit on? Are you on the side that, you know, it's a Pompey match, it's a trophy final, regardless you want the team to win, or are you of the opinion that actually you'd rather not?
It's a hard one. I mean, I want Pompey to win every match they can, and with it being a cup final as well, I think we'd be silly to go in with the attitude, you know, hoping we lose. I think it could be a pivotal moment in our season, the way in which we are positioned, hanging on to a playoff place. I mean, if we are to lose, I mean, we're going into the Peterborough game and the Ipswich game on the back of the defeats to the likes of Sunderland and Doncaster, as well as League Two Salford. So, I mean, I think a win could fire us up a little bit into the coming weeks, but I think a loss could be pivotal, really, if we are to push ourselves back into the playoff picture.
Do you think a win tomorrow, Adam, is a question I asked at the top of the show to supporters listening tonight. Do you think a win tomorrow could actually act as a bit of a momentum, a confidence boost for Pompey heading into the final 13 league games of the season? A win at Wembley, trophy success, to have that to your name, is that the kind of momentum that we need?
I'd like to hope so. I'd like to think it would do something, spark something. I mean, if you look at our schedule going in compared to others, I'd say ours is a little bit more favourable other than perhaps the game on Tuesday. And so if it's any time that we're going to start building momentum in the run into the season, it has to be this weekend, surely. Yeah. I mean, it's been well documented. It's clear to see that we've been in decline. And I think if it's going to stop, it has to be this weekend. If it don't, I really do believe that this could be it for the season. And, you know, we're saying that we could fall as far as 10th this weekend. I think that might not be too far from the realms of possibility if we don't get a good result this weekend.
And looking at some more stats as well, Ryan, one here from Twitter. Pompey have conceded more goals from set pieces in the last few games than they had done in the previous 31 in League One. More set piece goals in the last two games than they did in the previous 31. We touched upon it a few moments ago, how Pompey need to tighten up at the back, you know, be more composed, comfortable when they're defending from those kind of situations. But that is quite a stat.
No, it is. I mean, I think I touched on something similar, if not that exact stat, earlier on in the show. And I think it is something going on with the players and the management right now. Their heads are all over the place. Their heads are scrambled. And it's showing on the pitch. The performances aren't good enough. And concentration levels aren't good enough. And that stat speaks volumes. Set pieces, switch on, mark up, and get the ball out. And unfortunately, that hasn't happened. And we've been punished.
Yeah. We got one more tweet in from Graham Stovold on Twitter. It says, I will be there listening as usual. However, as a 58-year-old man, I grew up in Overton, a village near Basingstoke. The only kid who was a Pompey fan. They never had any player picks in shoot or goal and rarely on the telly, so I've relished every big TV game since. But I've lived in Plymouth now and travel up with the Devon Blues. We now banter on WhatsApp on match days, but many just feel they can't be bothered to watch this final. I'm so disheartened by what we've seen. I know we will all watch though, as we are Pompey blooded, but we've got no oomph, says Graham Stovold on Twitter there. And the final one from Mockers, who says, in a nutshell, Jake, the players who took us to Wembley should start tomorrow, not the players who have never played before for us in this tournament, is the opinion of Mockers on Twitter. Got a text in from Mike T in Southsea. He says, hi Jake, away and the lads, let's make history tomorrow. Mike T in Southsea there. And good evening, Jake. Well, it's the final tomorrow and I'm hoping for a better performance. This is not the Pompey I know. A 3-1 victory. Keep the faith, says Roger in Gosport. And Gav Jones on Twitter says, good evening, gents. My lineup would look like this. Craig McGilvery in goal, James Bolton, Jack Watmore, Rasmus Nicolaisen and Lee Brown make up the back four. Ryan Williams, Tom Naylor, George Byers and Michael Jacobs, with Marcus Harness and Jordi Huwula up top. with Ward, Curtis, Raggett, Marquis, Harrison, White and Daniels on the bench for the Blues. And a final email here from Paul Hodges, who says, come on boys, win this game, retain the cup and use this as a springboard to climb back up the league. Good luck. Play up Pompey, says Paul Hodges on the emails. Ryan, Adam, thank you both so much for your input over the last hour or so. We're going to get to your score predictions very, very soon. But first of all, we're going to take a listen back to how Pompey got to this EFL Trophy final. Wembley awaits yet again for Pompey.
Leighton McGeady over the wall, deflected and into the back of the net. Chipped in by Evans to the far post. Thompson arriving, it's into the back of the net. Jamal Lowe over the goalkeeper, into the back of the net. Jamal Lowe! McGeady, a great chance. Clark, he can't keep it out. And Sunderland have equalised. It's been a pulsating 2 hours of action. We are going to go to penalty kicks to decide the winner. Lee Catamol, who right-footed, is saved! Ollie Hawkins is the man with the penalty and the chance to win it. He'll hit it right-footed and he'll score! And Portsmouth have won the EFL Trophy 5-4 on penalties!
And the defence of that title has gone pretty well.
Pompey going with a strong side this evening against the Crawley Town outfit that opted to make 10 changes. Bloomfield outside the area. Bloomfield to shoot! Great save from Bass. Pompey hit on the counter-attack. Played in towards Pittman into the net! Brett Pittman manages to drag it into the corner. Teggart putting the ball down and running. Back across goal. Nodded. Great save. Still there, possibly. And into the back of the net. Flint swivels and scores his first senior goal for Portsmouth. Cannon, nice ball to try and get walked in behind. Walk stabs it under the goalkeeper and it's gone into the net. Here comes Sam Long with his right foot. He puts it over the bar and Portsmouth win Group B of the Southern Section. And Maloney has scored for Portsmouth. And Hart has scored. Volleying into the top corner.
It's Burgess who heads it down and it's tapped in. Header from Harrison. Pompey heading through to the quarterfinal, surely.
Two wins and Portsmouth can return to the National Stadium. Can he get the shot away, Marquis? He scored! Abu Issa with a magnificent equaliser. Harness lays it off to the right. McGeehan shot, McGeehan's goal! They've beaten Scunthorpe by 2-1. Exeter have scored! Cleared off the line, Harness, goal! And an own goal of Christian Burgess! Exeter have surely booked their place at Wembley. Into the net! Curtis brings it down in the penalty area. Curtis across the face, a goal! Marquis! Marquis! He's won it! 96 minutes on the clock! Portsmouth are heading back to Wembley! They've done it in the most dramatic circumstances! It's Portsmouth 3, Exeter 2!
Salford City stand in the way of the Blues making history.
No team has ever managed to retain the trophy.
Can Pompey change that? It's almost time to find out. Lads, I cannot believe it has been over a year since that dramatic 3-2 victory over Exeter City. Ryan Honey, a very quick score prediction from you, mate.
I think it's going to be tough. Both teams struggling for form. I think we'll scrape a 1-0.
1-0 is the opinion of Ryan and Adam Hillier. Your score prediction?
I think it might be a little bit of a quiet one this weekend. Both teams out of form. I'm going to go 0-0 on the game and I think we'll win on penalties.
Lads, thank you both so much for joining me tonight. For the record, I'm going to go for a 2-1 Pompey win after extra time. I think it'll go 1-0 90 minutes and then 2-1 to the Blues after extra time. OK then, once again, thank you to both Ryan Honey and Adam Hillier for joining me on tonight's Football Hour here on Express FM. Also, thank you to everyone who got involved on the text, the tweets and the emails. And of course, to Stagecoach across myself for supporting yet another season of the Football Hour. Ian James joins Connor Mosley on Express Floor Fillers right after the news at 7. Connor and Ian are playing the Pompey's biggest party to get you ready for the weekend. And then from 11 through to the early hours of the morning, we've got nothing but non-stop Express Floor Fillers. Tomorrow morning from 8, Ian McGuinness is back. He's got 4 from 40 from 1994. A Wembley random top 5, movies with John Brown and new music from Maroon 5. Billy Park then takes over at 11 o'clock with Saturday Fun, Just Great Songs, The Tiny Quiz, and of course, a couple of weekend bangers as well. And then from 1:30, it's the return of Pompey Live. We are on air very early tomorrow. Have a great weekend, Pompey fans. Have a good evening. Good night. Can the Blues create more history at Wembley?
Horford have won the EFL trophy. Pandemonium in the Pompey end to our right. A wonderful moment.
It's finally time for the 2020 EFL Trophy final. Pompey versus Salford City, almost a year in the making. Join us from 1:30 tomorrow afternoon here on Express FM.